I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
The chair congratulates Reverend Matthew C. Harrison and declares him as the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
It's faith that makes you aware of the doubt. And a person that has no faith in God isn't hurt by doubt. It's the Christians that are feeling the struggle that's inside of them.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
I remember as a little kid going to, it must have been a Museum of Natural History, something along those lines, and seeing, it's amazing to see these enormous insects fixed in amber. I guess the sap oozes out of these ancient trees, and these unfortunate insects happen to wander in. They get stuck. They get encased in this gooey substance. It hardens into something like a rock, and there I am. Who knows how many thousands of years later, staring in at this bug. He's stuck. He's not going anyplace. He is, in many ways, a snapshot of the past. And the same thing happens to theologians sometimes. It happens within church bodies. Here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday, July the 26th, we're going to be doing a little bit of a review of a new book called A Daystar Reader. That'll need some explanation, but we'll get to that in just a moment. The book is by Dr. Matthew Becker and our guest, Dr. Holder Sontag. He'll be with us in just a moment. You can join us for the next 2 hours of this Monday afternoon Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. At our Facebook fan page, you can leave questions or comments for this first half hour's subject, or a little bit later, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be joining us to talk about atheists and debaptizing. You can also leave a question or a comment or your reaction on that as well. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. In about a half hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. Today we'll be in the 18th chapter of Luke, Jesus Calming the Storm, a very familiar Sunday school lesson. As I mentioned before, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery of Patrick Henry College will be with us in the second hour of the program to talk about atheism and debaptism. And should time provide, we will also be talking a little bit about, do we call it the reinstatement or just, I think we'll just call it the recognition of gay pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@IssuesETC.org. Twitter us at @IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about a new book called The Daystar Reader by Dr. Matthew Becker and to do a review, Dr. Holger Sontag. He formerly served as pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He's currently serving as a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's translator and writer for Lutheran Press and author of a review, A Daystar Reader, for Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology. Dr. Sontag, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. I'm glad to be with you this afternoon.
We'll talk a little bit in some more detail about Daystar as an organization in just a moment, but the reader claims to be a foreword looking, future-oriented kind of 95 theses for Lutheranism, very much forward-looking. Is that true? Is Daystar a forward-looking organization?
Well, as you say, that is certainly their claim, and also the fact that when they were first started in 1999, so about 10 years ago, they published all the materials online, and as we remember, the Internet was the latest craze back in the 90s before the Internet bubble burst and we all got laid off from our jobs. So that is certainly the claim and also the external trappings that, go with it. But when you look at actually the contents of what is delivered in those articles, then you feel more reminded of about 40 years past, in especially Missouri Synod history. In other words, you feel reminded of the whole controversy surrounding the seminarian exile. So in other words, those majority faculty members of the St. Louis Seminary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that left that seminary and formed a counter-seminary at first in St. Louis and then up in Chicago in order to protest that the president of the seminary at the time, Pastor Teachin, or Dr. Teachin rather, got reprimanded by the Missouri Synod as a church body. So that is very reminiscent of those things, what you read in there. So that's why I would say, yes, it claims to be forward-looking, but in fact, it is backwards-looking. It is always still kind of revolving around those issues that, you know, were the hot topic items about 40 years ago, such as women's ordination, such as the inspiration of the scriptures, such as also science and theology.
So what is Daystar as an association or organization?
Well, according to the Daystar Reader and also according to its website, it claims to be a gospel-centered organization of laymen, pastors, professors within the LCMS. But from the Daystar Reader, one can also learn that also outside people are at least somewhat associated with that organization. So, and gospel-centered is, of course, an important word here. Remember, 40 years ago, the big discussion was, of course, a hermeneutical one. That is one that had to do with the interpretation of the scriptures. And gospel-centered is here the watchword for hermeneutic that based the authority of the scriptures on the gospel and not the authority of the gospel on the authority of the scriptures as God's word. And those were the big opposing discussions at the time. So this organization really continues within the Missouri Synod mostly today that tradition, hermeneutically speaking, that was begun, or let's say that that was not begun by the Seminex people, but that came to the fore when those people were making their case in the publications and so forth of the Missouri Synod back in the 60s and early 70s.
You mentioned that Daystar started up at around 1990. What was it? What was this organization, its members, what were they attempting to respond to at that time?
Well, clearly at that time in the 1990s, as some might remember of your listeners, Dr. Al Berry was president of the Missouri Synod. And, you know, as far as I can see it from looking back, you know, he was simply trying to do what, according to Luther at least, church leadership should be doing. That is, not be innovative, not changing things around, but simply reaffirming that which has been revealed and that which has been given to us by means of the scriptures. And some people obviously were not happy with that, again, coming out of that Seminex movement in the 1970s. And they were saying, look, I mean, we got to organize apparently to bring in to the discussion again, now after 20 years back in the 90s, those key insights that we, our people consider to be so vital and so decisive for the church to remain church and not become, I would say, just some club of legalistic Pharisees.
So who are some of the prominent Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members who have some kind of affiliation with Daystar? What specifically, how specifically would you describe their affiliation?
Well, obviously, I don't know their membership list, but, you know, just looking from, you know, who contributed to this reader now and who speaks at their conferences and so forth, you know, names like, of course, Matthew Becker comes to mind. You already mentioned him. He currently teaches at Valparaiso University, used to teach at Concordia in Portland, Oregon. Another name perhaps familiar comes to mind is David Benke, district president of the Atlantic District in the Missouri Synod, but also somebody like Ralph Bowman, former president of the Missouri Synod. So these are just three individuals that over the years have spoken or even now have contributed to the collection here of essays in the reader now, the Daystar reader.
What are the issues that, at least in this kind of written edition of their positions, or at least positions that may be held by some of the members,
right.
What are the issues for them, and why do they why do they want to raise them?
Well, I mean, certainly the one basic issue, as I already mentioned, is the hermeneutical one. That is, has to do with the interpretation of the scriptures, God's word, and that would be where Daystar would urge us to put the gospel first, in the sense that it is the gospel that gives authority to God's word, and not God's word gives authority to the gospel, as I would think Luther would assert. From there, you have a whole plethora of issues, obviously, that are then developed. The first one would be the issue of fellowship, and that is, can we have church fellowship with churches that deny important teachings?
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, more with Dr. Holger Sontag on a Daystar reader. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas; Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona; St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio; Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington; Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky; and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Our guest, Dr. Holger Sontag. We're doing a review of a new book, A Daystar Reader by Dr. Matthew Becker. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, July the 26th, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You were talking about one of the second issue, the first one being kind of a gospel reductionist way of interpreting and understanding the Bible. The second one, you said church fellowship.
Right.
What is the position, as far as you can tell, of Daystar on church fellowship?
Well, it seems to me that if the gospel is really the center and really the sole authority also in the scriptures, then that should really also guide our fellowship discussions with other church bodies in America and around the world. So in other words, so long as we can agree on some gospel message that has somewhat to do with God, Jesus Christ, saving sinners, then all the other issues that might divide us from those people, like our understanding of the sacraments, our understanding in general, for example, also of the doctrine of the church and the ministry and other things, all these other issues then no longer really matter. Because we all agree that we're all saved by Jesus Christ. Now, if you say it that simply, and I hope I don't mischaracterize those folks on the Daystar Association there, but if you phrase it that broadly, then really Lutherans can enjoy fellowship with a lot of churches, because as far as Christian churches are concerned, there is no church really that I know that says, no, we're not saved by Jesus Christ. We're saved by, I don't know, St. Paul or hamsters or something like that. You know, so there's really this broad agreement. But of course, as Lutherans, we ask ourselves, what does this all really have to do with the small catechism? And there in the articles assembled in the book, you do ask that question, especially when you read articles that deal with the sacraments, so with baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, we know that Lutherans have historically had sharp issues there with the Reform, but also with the Roman Catholic Church. Now, are we supposed to forget all that, what we've learned from the small catechism, and just somehow focus on the second article of the creed in some way, and not mind the chief article of baptism and of the Lord's Supper? I mean, this would really be my question, and that's why I'm saying they're really backward-looking. I mean, not that we don't, as Lutherans, don't look backwards. I mean, of course we look backwards. We look to Jesus Christ, to what he has done, as it is revealed for us in the scriptures. Then we look certainly also to Martin Luther and his work of reforming the church. But the backward-looking aspect in the really negative sense, I think, in the Daystar Association comes about when a particular historical time is chosen to make the case that, yes, you know, this is how it should be, even though that time, namely, let's say, the 1960s or the 1970s, even though that time did not understand itself to be really in continuity with the church of all times and all places. So, you know, this is really the difference between Daystar, as I understand it, and Luther, as I understand him. I mean, when he published his 95 Theses, he did not want to bring something new. He didn't want to be forward-looking or any such thing. He wanted to simply reassert and reaffirm the doctrine of the Scripture, more specifically, obviously, in the 95 Theses, the doctrine of confession, repentance, and all these things that had been obscured by innovation during the Middle Ages. And so he wanted to restore the ancient purity of the Church and not be forward-looking, not be the next innovator, not come up with some new thing that somehow makes us more relevant in the 21st century.
Does Daystar hold the position, again, not to a member, but as an organization, do they seem to hold the position that somehow the evangelistic mission of the church is hampered by at least in the Missouri Synod, the failure to ordain women to the pastoral ministry, Dr. Sontag?
Yes, definitely. I mean, this is one of their main points, which is also discussed in the essays in the collection, that they say, look, I mean, the situation and the position of women in society today is so much different from what it was in the first century, so much different from what it was in the 16th century, that we cannot today simply uncritically repeat what Paul said, what Luther maintained. We have to be accommodating there, and we can be accommodating because the ordination of women is obviously not the article by which the church stands or falls, because that obviously is the gospel. But I would think that since the pastoral office did not just spring about by human ingenuity, but was also ordained and instituted by Christ, and was ordained and instituted in a certain specific form, namely to be mouthpieces of his, to be the proclaimer of the gospel, to be the administrator of the sacrament, I would think that ordaining women does have an impact also on the gospel. But again, if you compartmentalize the articles of the faith a little bit more and simply say, well, gee, isn't that just some church custom? Isn't that just some cultural bias that Paul or Luther had against women? Then obviously you come to different conclusions, and then basically you must ordain women in order to remain relevant. And, of course, they don't stop there. The case is made in the reader that obviously we should also be accepting of openly homosexual people, and if you basically are allowed to marry them in the church, then yes, you also have to open the ministry for them, as seen in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America at its last convention last year in Minneapolis. Presiding Bishop Hansen is still dealing with the issue currently at the Lutheran World Federation meeting in Germany.
Some of our listeners might find this quite shocking, Dr. Sontag, that there are people who are advocating for these things who have an association, or seem to be advocating for these things, who have an association, some of them official, with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The names you mentioned before, and others that we probably could name, is their association with Daystar indication that they hold to all the positions we've been discussing here, or do they nuance it, each individual member, as far as you can tell?
Well, obviously, in a reader like this, people speak to whatever their assigned topic is or whatever they wrote the essay on a couple years back, and then, you know, the editor all throws it together and makes somehow a unified whole out of it. So, I mean, I'd be hesitant, obviously, to say that all of them hold all these positions. And at the same time, you know, you have to recognize that, when you're between two covers with certain people advocating certain positions, that, you know, people will maybe ask you, hey, you know, what about your position there? What certainly unites them all is, as I said before, is this specific, as you called it, gospel reductionistic hermeneutic. And, you know, maybe personal taste then dictates how far a person will go. But the question then is, really, is it just then personal taste or personal preference that's holding you back, because you have already squandered and given away God's word, on which you could stand against these issues had you not already axed it by saying, well, gee, since the law is not the gospel, it cannot really function for the Christian as the unchanging rule for our life. And as you remember, that was also an issue back in the 70s. And what always amazes me is, of course, when these movements spring up, it's difficult to foresee where they will go 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. It is interesting to see now, 40 years after Sermon X, some of the fruits that grew on that tree that certainly many people that were Sermon X affiliates back in the 70s would have denied back then. No, we're not for homosexuals. For homosexual ordination or homosexual marriage. But now that same hermeneutic that they advocated so forcefully back in the day has come kind of full circle in that it makes possible things that maybe they themselves back 40 years ago have not thought possible.
Let's take another break here, Dr. Sontag, and when we come back, a few more minutes with Dr. Holger Sontag, a review of a new book, A Daystar Reader, by Dr. Matthew Becker. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, July the 26th, 1-877-623-6943. You can read Dr. Holger Sontag's review of A Daystar Reader under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. In about a half hour, we'll talk to Pastor David Ramirez about the official recognition yesterday of 7 openly gay pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, right along the lines of what Dr. Sontag is talking about. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've signed a letter with other pro-life leaders asking for an investigation. It's possible Elena Kagan committed perjury during her Senate confirmation hearings. She claimed a neutral position while then-President Clinton was considering signing the ban on partial birth abortion. But a memo reveals she took an aggressive role in Clinton's veto. It looks like she amended a statement by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. This tampered with crucial medical testimony and affected more than a decade of court action. Senator Orrin Hatch said he was stunned by her politicization of science. Ms. Kagan would be an absolute judicial activist on abortion if she's confirmed. Contact your senators now to oppose her. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for details.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Because you see, I'm a dinosaur. I should have died out a long time before.
Doing a review of a new book, A Daystar Reader, by Dr. Matthew Becker. Dr. Holger Sontag is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A few more minutes with him, then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be talking about Jesus calming the storm, and that'll bring us to the end of Hour 1 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, July the 26th. What I wonder about, Dr. Sontag, is that, and you kind of led us there before the break, this group, both outside and inside the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, calling for these things, more open-mindedness about the ordination of women, perhaps about homosexuals as well, open church fellowship based on kind of doctrinal minimalism, a reduction down to the bare gospel itself apart from its other articles. As far as you can tell from reading this book, is this kind of, well, others have failed before, others have gone too far, we know where to stop. Yes, this may be a slippery slope, but we know exactly where to stop. We won't go the direction of, say, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that has used exactly the same hermeneutic and exactly the same way of reading the Bible to essentially open the floodgates on just about anything and everything.
Well, that was, of course, the old claim back in the day of seminics. You know, yeah, we can use all these kind of basically secular methods of interpreting the scriptures, but we do that in a Lutheran way. We know where to stop. And I think the publication of the Daystar Reader has certainly proved this wrong. If these people clearly do not know where to stop, and how would they? Where would they know where to stop? Because if Scripture in its totality is discarded, if there's detected cultural bias and all these things in the Scriptures, then there is really no stop that you can stop at. There is only your own personal preference, your own personal sanctified ego, if you will, and readers of Franz Pieper's Christian Dogmatics will know that term, because this is exactly what it is. It is the sanctified, it is the reborn ego, the I, so to speak, the personality, the new Christian, that because he or she is reborn, now thinks he knows what God wants. He knows what God's will is, and he therefore no longer really needs the scriptures as only rule and norm for faith and life in the church as a Christian. And that is basically the problem. Once the scriptures are gone, there is really no objective stopping point.
Finally then, Dr. Sontag, a Daystar Reader claims to be, we mentioned this before, a new 95 theses for Lutheranism, especially for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Is it?
No, it's certainly not. I mean, we already talked a little bit about the differences between the original 95 theses. And, you know, the best remedy against the newfangled doctrine set forth by the Daystar Association, and it's really to go back to Luther, because he is the most trustworthy guide to the scriptures that we have. Read Luther, study Luther, and really discover there for yourself that the folks that are associated in Daystar really do not give you a fair shake on what Luther really taught and what Luther really said. And in fact, you don't have to read many books. Just start with a small catechism. Because when you really look at all of Luther's writings, there are nothing else, really, than the exposition of the six chief articles of the Catechism. And that is a great way to start, and then from there go on out into sermons of Luther, other writings by Luther on the Lord's Supper, baptism, the law, the gospel, the Lord's Prayer, and so forth. And there you will find that he was not a gospel reductionist. He placed the gospel at the center of theology, but as Dr. Marquardt always said, for him, justification was an article of illumination, not of elimination. So not cutting the rest out by means of the gospel, but putting everything in the proper place by means of the gospel. And that is really, what I would take away from this. There are certain image of Luther, a certain image of reform and reformation as presented in the Daystar Reader. How can we counteract that? Not by getting foamy around the mouth, but by simply and soberly reading the scriptures, reading the confessions, and reading Dr. Luther himself, who still is, to my knowledge at least, the most preeminent teacher of the churches of the Augsburg Confession. So he understood better than everybody, better than anybody, what the Augsburg Confession and the Lutheran Confessions really mean. So from him, we also have a lot to learn, which will also then equip the church to be a faithful witness to the gospel, to God's word, to all the doctrines that God has revealed in his word, in the 21st century and, God willing, even beyond.
Folks, you can read Dr. Holger Sontag's review of A Daystar Reader under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Holger Sontag is formerly a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, currently serves as a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's a translator and writer for Lutheran Press and author of a review, A Daystar Reader, for Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology. Dr. Sontag, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it very much.